Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is another blessed day that the Lord our God has made, and I love Him for it. I love Him. He first loved us. I love Him because He first loved us. And I thank God that His love is consistent. I just can't get enough of His love. I love Him, and I love His people. And I love and respect and honor every anointed person. Now, sometimes anointed people come in different flavors. I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about type. Sometimes a person, God raised up people to solve problems. But not just, that's not the only reason He raised them up. He make us, we're made, we have a makeup. We're in positions to see things that others may not. Now, the way the Lord uses, I know there's a strategy behind how He uses people. And like my daddy, he grew up an orphan. And my mother grew up in a very large family. And she had many brothers. And I pointed this out at her funeral. I said, the Lord, she understood how men thought. Because she grew up with five brothers and she had three older brothers. Now, and then she had a very wise sister. Now, my mother and my auntie, they were two wise women. And they're the reason, you know, being raised by my mom and being around my aunt, I thought highly of women. But when I started dating, I realized it wasn't like I thought it was. I thought all girls were that way, you know, were wise. Everybody's not wise. Some are wise. Some are wiser than others. But they had a lot of wisdom, and they seen a lot of things. They had, so I expected they, you know, they shaped my vision for my future. I wanted a wife that was wise, and that could respect me like my mother respected my father. I never heard her complain against him, and all the activity they did, you know, they worked full-time jobs, then they go to Utah every weekend. I don't know how they did it, but they did it, and they never complained about it. I'm talking about all my life. As long as that, they retired when I was, by the time I graduated high school, they were retiring. They were in their 60s when I was graduating high school. And their retirement lasted almost as long as my career. God bless them for all the years of working in ministry. But they never complained. They did it willingly and they were obedient. Okay, so that put me in a position to see some things. And I'm just showing you how the dynamics of anointed people. And my dad was no different than, he was a man's man. He carried a gun. He was a boxer. He loved to watch boxing. He was a boxer himself. He trained as a boxer. And now he's an old man. He's an older man I think it was in the 90s. Mama fixed, they had the garage, our house was had a basement, and they had a basement, two-car garage in the bottom. And a man's house burned down, so, because it caught the fumes of the man's car, caught the water tank on fire, and it burned the house down and killed him. And Mama didn't want to park cars in the garage, so she wanted to fix it up as a very nice den, and which she did, you know. I say Mama did it because it was her idea and Daddy went along with it. But he used to love to watch TV in the den. But I'm bringing all this up to say this. Between the garage doors, that was about a 12 or 14 foot space. And between the garage doors, you know, between four, maybe 14, 18 inches, I don't know. But it was a space, not a big space, but a space. And my nephew, Akil, he caught my daddy hitting a ball. I bought my daughter this little ball you buy at the grocery store, you know. About the size of a basketball, but it's light, you know. It's not something that a three-year-old could play with. And he was punching that ball against the wall. And he was standing back about 5 feet. And my nephew was just stunned watching. I never saw this with my own eyes, but he said, I couldn't believe he did this. He was punching that ball against the wall, and it'll come right back to his fist, and he was controlling that ball. He did it for a long time. I wish I could have seen it. But I said all that to say this. Daddy was a man's man. He was a World War II veteran, and he was a preacher. And I said before, he carried a gun. And he went hunting. He loved hunting, fishing. He loved guns and cars. But he was also an orphan. And this man, you would not know he was an orphan. He saw both of his parents get killed. And his by his uncle. He got drunk and he was trying to kill his wife. And his wife hid behind the door and he killed my grandmother, which was pregnant with twins. Then my dad came home. He was in the truck. My granddaddy was driving his truck. And the bullet went across my dad's chest and killed my granddad. And he grew up in the Hambys. He grew up with the Hamby grandparents. I don't know much about them, except they loved God and they took him to church, and they he loved to go to church, but he didn't want to be a preacher. He joined World War II running from the Lord. And when he was on the Burma Road, he helped build gravel the Burma Road. He drove a motor grader in World War II. Now I thought it was China. But my sister said it was India. I think it was China. My daddy said it was China. But he fell in some water, which was a whirlpool. And anybody that fell in this whirlpool, they didn't come back out. But she said that the Lord was talking to him while he was underwater. He left that part out when he told me, but he told her. And when he came out, it just shocked the people there. And they just started bowing down. And he left that part out. My sister told me that. But anyway, he told me this. He went straight to the chapel and he was preaching and he never stopped. Now, he was dedicated. And my mother wanted a family. And she understood how men thought with all those uncles of mine. And they were, you know, wonderful people too. But she understood how men, and she knew how to be patient with him. They had their relationship was dynamic. Now I'm watching all this, you know, and I was born when they was in their 40s, so. I grew up with older, wiser parents. And when you grow up seeing good, that's what you think. That shapes the way you see the world. And in ministry, you know, if you go to church, you see things. You see good things and you see bad things. As a child, I see my daddy preach and teach the word. Then you go outside to play with the kids, you run around chasing your friends, and you hear people's conversations. Some people are talking about what they heard. Some people are talking about the word of God. Some people are talking about the club. And you're like, wait a minute, this church, you talking, you know. So you see things. When I started thinking about the Lord, I said, well, I want to make sure I'll do right. You can't do anything. And I had to get some things cleared up. And I didn't read the word for myself till right around the time I got saved. So it's like this: your life causes, you know, whatever you're born into, you see things, and then you find out about the way it should be, and then you want, you know, God can get your attention. Some things will get your attention more than others. Some things will be more important to you than others. And just like in their life, some things are more important to them than what interests you or what problems you want to solve. So the Lord has to, I'm saying all this to say this, all that to say this. Everybody's life is varied. And the Holy Spirit, the questions you have, the things, the concerns you have, he comforts you and you get revelation. And then when you speak from what the Lord taught you under the anointing, it hits home with people that go through the same situation or whatever God calls you to understand. And we need each other. Now, cold religion does it this way. You go to church, you listen to one point of view, the pastor. Well, wait a minute. Let me rewind that. We got our tradition from somewhere. This is how the Catholic Church did it. See, going to church is much different than it was in the days of Christ. They went and listened. They used to listen to the a priest read the word. And, you know, everybody would come and listen to the word. That's all he did. He read the word. Then in the synagogue, people would teach. Not only the, you know, in people would share, you know, they share what they, you know, they share the word with each other. And you had greater points of view in one day. But the Catholic Church, you listen to the priest, he tell you what the word said, and then you leave. You know, I'm saying all these things because everybody's life has a different dynamic, and the Lord knows how to put things together. Every ministry solves a problem. Every anointing has its own design, jurisdiction, but every anointing has this in common: it's unlimited. It goes beyond your lifespan. The influence of every anointing goes far beyond the lifespan of the person who got anointed. Just like Jeremiah, we're still receiving his anointing and portraying it to others. Same thing with all the prophets. Everything Jesus did, every anointing continues on. It never ends. Though our life stops, our body stops working, the anointing don't. Now, every anointing has its own. Pastor Jackson put it this way. He said, there are people assigned to your life. In the course of your life, you're going to meet them. So the Lord raised people up to solve problems, you know. And you the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. The Lord put marriages together. Some marriages are destined of God, like my parents. You know, he was an orphan. My mother wanted a family. He wanted a family. And family was very important to them. So family was very important to me. And I wanted the kind of marriage they had. And with my own personality, not theirs, but I wanted a wife that I would love and respect, and I wanted a wife that could respect me. In fact, all the girls I grew up with, I just about had a crush on all of them at one point in time, not all at the same time. But I didn't think they'd take me serious when I was a teenager. All the girls I grew up with, I didn't try to have a, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend relationship with them. Because I didn't think they'd take me serious. And because I was a very quiet kid, you know, growing up. And they just take people a long time to realize, you know, as you grow up, even parents, it's hard for parents sometimes to release their children into adulthood. They feel every time they see them, they think they got to tell them what to do. And that's not the way. I told my, I said, now if other people do that, I said, I don't do that. You're an adult now, and I respect you as an adult. I learned this from the Lord. And, you know, I work with a lot of people, and they all got parents. And, you know, when I used to go home, my mom said, you eating enough? Yeah, I mean, I eat all the time. I just work my behind off. I stay small for a long time because I work a lot. But I eat. But anyway, nevertheless, you people mature. And they, you know, you're used to them being a child, but they grow up. And they learn this, how this life is. But anyway, people need to, the Lord put the dynamics that my parents had. I could see him putting them together because of what they had done. They were mature. They didn't know about authority, like I learned authority. But God compensated them because they lived in the love of God. They didn't complain. See, a lot of things God will compensate you as long as you're in that bubble of faith. Now, every type of ministry is necessary. And with the devil trying to stop what God has put in motion. Now, I was talking earlier about how traditions, how they form. When they had to figure out, don't think for a moment that the wicked don't sit up and talk about the people of God. They study us. Just like we study Jesus, they study us to see how they can undo what we do. They don't have that pure love for God. So kings, a person that's in charge of everything, I don't care where you go, what job you go on, the person at the top knows what everybody's doing. They may not pay attention like they should. They may not be hands-on, but they know what people are doing. They see it from a distance. They hear it all the time. When I worked my job, I worked in the shop at Bell's Masseur. The best employees people would talk about in other departments. And some people, they wanted certain people to work on their vehicles because of their reputation. Because they, you'll see people frown up if a certain mechanic got it instead of the one they was after. Why? Because they heard about how we work. You know, people hear things, and the person at the top, they hear everything. They're in that position. I'm saying this because a kingdom is no different. The preachers preach the gospel, people get saved, and then they live a certain way. And so the wicked can't appreciate that. So they wanted to control it. So the king and the priest usually were in cahoots. So they, over time, traditions was formed that kind of, why would you think the Catholic Church would read the Bible in a language that nobody else could read and then interpret it? They were controlling the narrative. So every church came out of the Catholic Church, basically, or had something to do with it. The Protestant Church came out of the Catholic Church, but they carried some of the traditions along with them. A man would come and preach, and everybody would listen. Some churches have testimonies, time for testimony. That works out good. Some people try to use it the wrong way, like people would do, but you learn a lot when people testify. You see what God is doing in the average person's life. And so, but we need the dynamics of others. Every anointed person should be respected and appreciated. But because of culture, religious culture, they'll look at you, well, you're not like Brother Hagin, so I don't listen to you. And that respect to person shouldn't exist. If everybody's listening and growing and learning who Jesus is, and they listen to the same people in many cases, and sometimes there are people out there that never heard of who you may like, or who you like to listen to, but they still love Jesus and they're still important. And God put me in a position to meet a lot of different people and every Christian have their own, you know, God is working with them too. So if they didn't hear of Kenneth Hagin or Henry Groover, that's all right. God is still working in their life. My dad didn't hear it, didn't know, but he still did a remarkable work. And so people in those days, people stayed in their culture. But when TBN came about, people were able to see and gather different aspects. And it's beautiful. Because we need each other. We're one body. We shouldn't be divided. When my dad was in the hospital, we was listening to a Catholic priest. He used to like to listen to the Catholic Channel sometime. And this Catholic priest was talking to, he was reading from Matthew, I believe it was. And his teaching was so interesting. We heard it over the, you know, they have the TV in the room and the nurses, the intercom and the TV is tied together. And it was so interesting. I enjoyed listening to this Catholic priest teach what Jesus said. And it almost at the end, I didn't even get to finish all of it because a nurse said something on the intercom and it messed the TV up and then he went off the air. And I was frustrated because I wanted to finish hearing what the Catholic priest had to say. But his teaching was good. It was the word. He was teaching the word. So God always have a remnant of people that love him. Not in just our denomination, but every denomination. Now, God is raising up people to solve problems that do exist. Now, when Kenneth Hagin taught faith, his ministry, Kenneth Hagin taught faith, to many people that was culture shock, but it was necessary. And Charles Capps taught confessions. To many people, that was culture shock, but it was necessary. And God raised them up to do this. He helped them solve the problems in their own lives, They grew from glory to glory, and they help other people do the same thing. More people have become millionaires and billionaires listening to the word of faith. And I'm not talking about just by Kenneth Hagin, but the message that he and all the other men of God that taught the word of faith, it caused people to prosper in every direction, not just financially. See, yesterday's broadcast was called Anti-Covenant Distractions. Well, in it, I taught how there's positive, at the end of it, positive prosperity and negative prosperity. So, with the word of faith, you have positive prosperity. Now think about it like God does for a moment. When you live the life of God and bear fruit, you're bearing fruit and people see it and they partake of it. And then they change their course. People that would have died live. So many people are alive because they got hands laid on them, because they learned to be healed. They learned about healing. They received miracles and their family experienced it. How many people saw their mother or their father or their children all on a deathbed, and then somebody laid hands on them and they got up? And so many people received that message, and then they became ministers like Andrew Womack and others, Creflo Dollar. They all share miracle stories, and they preach to people every day, all day. And people have been hearing the word every day, all day. In every city, people know who Kenneth Copeland is and Gloria Copeland. They have the camp meetings. People go and get healed, and they come back with testimonies. People see people in wheelchairs, and then all of a sudden they're not in wheelchairs. They're walking around back to life again. You know, men like Benny Hinn came about. And Joyce Myers, she helped so she helped so many people come out, women come back to life through the anointing. Now, for every person, every child of God that you touch like that, that you bless, spiritual wealth gets on your life. And then financially, people support the ministry. And then God blesses their life. He increases their business. He helps them get promoted, job promotions, overtime, everything. That when you let Jesus preach on your boat, he's going to bless your business. You don't have to deal with competition problems anymore. You sow seeds, God will take care of your business. Especially when you do it in faith. Especially when you have the revelation of it. Now, some people, they hear these things and they try it, but they don't really believe it. They just try something. Now, God said, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the baby stages, that'll work. But after a while, you got to have the revelation of it. When you have the revelation of it, you won't stop. You'll continue on. I've been blessed. I've sowed seeds and gotten blessed. So it works. Ain't nothing wrong with God and his word. Not only this, I remember Kenneth Hagin had a vision that the Lord showed him. He saw American cities burned with fire, like a nuclear bomb had dropped. And he said, he said, he asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, if the gospel's not preached, that's what was going to happen. Well, guess what? The word of faith was preached. Rhema came about and put out students. My pastor is one of the students, and I've seen great miracles at Victory Christian Fellowship. And the church was paid off early. And God blessed every, no matter what. When COVID hit, the church was able to help other churches. So many people have become millionaires, billionaires, businessmen, ministers raised up, ministries raised up, not only in this country, but every country. In the Middle East, people, the Rhema students, they call them the happy people. I heard testimonies of people that got saved in Israel, in Palestine. You know, the guy was living in a Rhema student was renting an apartment in Palestine, you know, and they call him the happy people. And see, Jesus is appearing to Muslims, but somebody got saved under his ministry. So they asked him, did Jesus appear to you? And how'd you get to know Jesus? He said, well, I listened to the happy, the happy preacher. See, we, look, this goes far. The anointing don't stop. It continues forward. And every anointing does its job. It's unstoppable. And God is raising up different types of ministries to do, to fulfill different purposes. Now, you know, people that may not know or have heard about Steve Quayle, everybody need to listen to Steve Quayle. God raised him up too. He listened to David Prince. He know how to rebuke devils. He been to Word of Faith preachers. But the Lord raised him up to expose what's going on under the ice in Antarctica, and the giants that's going to return. It's a lot of things going on that shouldn't be going on, and many governments are in on it. There are dark things happening, folks, right under your nose, and you don't know it. You know, he exposed that underground train that this country is building from coast. It's probably done by now. They got a nuclear drill that's drilling a hydroelectric train. You know, what do they call that train? It's a rail. It's a electromagnetic rail, and it's silent. You know, they got one in Japan, but they got them underground in every country now. And it can take people from one side to the other in moments. And why do you think the country's in trillions of dollars worth of debt? Somebody, that money, your tax dollars, and it did these things that nobody's talking about. And then the giants, you know, he'd been teaching about giants way back in the 70s, 80s, when nobody, you know, people thought he was crazy, but the Lord raised him up to do that. And the Lord was showing what's going on. And the Lord told Steve Quayle that if you're faithful, I'll cause the people that know to tell you. And many generals have come to him on their deathbed or talking to him. If you listen to him, you'll see what's really going on. He talked about Admiral's Byrd mission to Antarctica. He was looking for Hitler in Antarctica. And he found flying saucers and all kind of things. The hybrid program. All this stuff is God raised up Holy Ghost filled people to deal with these problems. L.A. Marzulli. You know, people that get abducted by UFOs, God raised up people to minister to them too. See, before Christ's return, the enemy is going to use fallen people to do things like this. The enemy has a plan too. And the governments that's in on it. Now, God is always ahead of Satan. A lot of things were stopped because everything that the world is doing, God is able to tell what's going on. Just like the Syrians, you know. The king of Syria said, who is against me? And then the general, his wise general, said, none, my lord, but there's a prophet in Israel. The Lord tells him what you're saying in your bread chamber. And that's how he found out about Elisha. So he sent men to go get Elisha. And when they got there, Elisha told his servant, he said, there's more that's with us than with them. And then he said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And he saw the Syrian army surrounded with an angelic army. And then they blinded him, and he led them and fed them and led them back to Israel, to Syria. And they didn't mess with him no more. See, God is always ahead of what Satan's doing. And see, the end game, since preachers don't know what's going on, they're not teaching it. But there are people being abducted, seeing giants, seeing, you know, all these things are real that the enemy's kept hidden. And God raised up Holy Ghost filled people to deal with these problems. See, in the tribulation period, these things will appear. Jesus said, men's hearts will fail because of what comes on earth. So every anointing has its own purpose. And every anointing can stop the works of darkness. Because people that come into the kingdom change the dynamics. See, remember, it took 10, if Sodom and Gomorrah had 10 righteous men, God would have spared it. What does that tell us? If the more people we have that's praising God and loving God and living the life And people, and while the world is wicked, it can hold back the judgment process. So the Lord's going to remove his people so he can judge it. He can't remove people that's with it, that's with the darkness. And we're not supposed to feel the darkness. And also, when God raised people up, I look at how God raised them up. Steve Quayle said he went to all the meetings. He'd been to all the camp meetings. He was there. When he got saved, he was a student of the Word. He learned who he is in Christ. See, and then he's doing this great work. I read his books. He did the research. When I first heard it, I said, I never heard that before. It was strange to me. I said, why is he always talking about giants? When I bought Empire Under the Ice and True Legends, I saw the cover up. You know, it's important to hear what God is saying. I was reading True Legends one morning. While I'm reading True Legends, they got Alias Smith and Jones came on. That's an old Western. And they were escorting a scientist that was looking for red-haired giant bones. And I'm like, this really did happen. Why are they in Hollywood dealing with this problem on a Western? I never heard about red-haired giants. But what they said was, they found a 7-foot giant. And then they said he had red hair because they ate red clay. And that don't make sense. But that's just an attempt to cover up. And when people are not concerned about these things, that'll get in their subconscious. See, I'm saying all this to say this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. People, anointed people can say some strange things, do some strange things, and write some strange books. But it's for your betterment. If you do the research, you'll see why they did it. And once people slander people, you know, where there's strife, then you can't learn from people that you have an evil opinion about. And we need to hear people out better so that we don't. Remember, James said it this way. He said,